Hello, you're listening to Guardian, and this is Centering.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Centering, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 140. Coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, January 28th, 2019. The time, 8:45 on the dot. Welcome. We have the best episode ever. If I have to say so myself, we got the minors to wrap up for the upcoming CSGO major. We have the epic E-League Invitational Tournament. Huge tournament of epic proportions. So we have to break everything down there. And we got some e-news for you, as always. But before we get into all that, let me pimp out our socials. Our socias. On Twitter, at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg. Our YouTube, which is updated for now. For now. Let's not get too excited, though. It'll probably become out of date. But we'll deal with that when we have to. My name is Tim. I will be one of your hosts for this journey into esports. Alongside me is the full crew today. We have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good. Can't complain. And we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Hello.
What's up? Glad we got your mic situation figured out. As we're testing it before the show, and you decide to crank your gain all the way up.
All the way up?
All the way up. My gain is all the way up. Can I go on a mini rant for any podcasters who might listen be listening to this episode right now? I'm not going to say names.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to say names.
No balls. Say it.
It's the name of a podcast that a cowboy in Overwatch might say when he uses his ulti.
High Noon Podcast.
Dang, dude.
Did I get it?
I'm not going to name names. I'm a better man than that. I'm a better man than that. Okay? So I will not call out any fellow podcasters out there. But I love you. For the love of God, figure out your audio levels. And I hope, as a podcast myself, if our listeners are listening to us in the car right now or through headphones or whatever, right? I don't know how people listen to The Centering. If our audio levels are out of whack, like if you have to turn me up when I'm talking, but then you got to crank it down when Anuj talks or whatever, let me know. You have to let us know on Twitter, at The Centering, because as someone who works in radio, and I'm just very particular about things in general, some people might call me a micromanager.
Or audio Nazi.
Yeah.
That name has been thrown around a few times.
I wear that with pride, though.
You do.
You got to let me know. Because like I said, certain podcasts out there, not going to name any. But like one person is so loud, it'll blast your eardrums. And the other person is so quiet. And you got to just, the whole time in the car, you're just working the volumes up and down. And it's just, for the love of God, you can have the best podcast in the world, but if your audio levels are out of whack, then I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through the whole episode. I digress, though, because we're not talking about other podcasts on this episode. No, sir. No, sir. We're talking about some CSGO. And don't worry, I know the Overwatch League is coming up and people are like, oh, but Tim, when's your Overwatch League preview? Man, we're waiting for it. I get thousands of messages a day asking for our Overwatch League preview. We're going to have it next week. We're going to actually do two episodes next week previewing everything you need to know about the upcoming season for Overwatch League. And then the week after that, we're going to have part one of the CSGO major. We're going to talk about the Challenger stage. So plenty of time to get all that done. So I say that now. Who knows? Maybe we'll get to next week and not have a clue on what to do. But let's get into some CSGO, because you did have the American Miners wrap up. Last week we talked about that a little bit of a preview. Let me actually get to that. Anuj, take it away, because I'm sure you actually have the results in front of you like a trained professional.
We do. I do. Yes. So four teams come out of this grouping with the Americas minor. We had the top two qualifiers. We'll kind of just take it in order from the qualifier side of it. But you did have NRG and Furia coming out 1 and 2 respectively from their brackets. And both came out, 2-0 here. And the surprising one, I don't think anyone was surprised about NRG, right? Like, that was almost a must have for them to qualify through this grouping. I mean, I saw no choice. If this didn't happen, I felt like this roster was going to be in a lot of trouble. So good for them in doing what they needed to do and looking good while they did it. I think the one that stood out probably to most people was Furia. We haven't talked, if any, about them on this show, but they looked like a really dominant team in the tournament, and it's hard to tell. Like, the meta is just changing in Counter-Strike right now. From the CT side, you're seeing it. It's an OG game. I mean, it's really become that way. It's being purchased more and more. They're finding some incredible uses. You can really hold some really tight angles. And one thing that they talked about Furia in particular is they had some players that were already using the OG prior to the meta change. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, they had one of their star players on the team, what was Vinny, was a pure OG player and kind of got beat up for it initially, because nobody was using it and it was an odd move. And now he's kind of a step ahead of Spray.
Well, remember, Shroud didn't shy away from it too, though, before the meta changed, right? There were very, very rare instances. Now, Shroud, I don't think, had the willpower to stick with it, playing at the level he was playing at. But I like seeing that, though. I say that all the time with, like, these tier 2, hell, some of these teams are tier 3, right? These lower level teams, that's what they have to do. They have to try something different if they want to try to compete with these better teams. It's not as big a deal in Counter-Strike because there's no classes or anything like in Overwatch or things like that. But the fact,
black and white.
Yeah, right. It's the strats are the strats, right? I don't think most of the time it's going to come down to just who gets the headshot or who gets the kill first. But to see them using the AUG before the curve, I think it shows in this minor that it helped. It paid off.
Yeah, they looked good coming out of there, and that was impressive. I think the teams that we were all kind of excited to see, Envy being one of them.
Mm-hmm. I think we really both picked E-United to come out of that.
Yeah, that was another one that was just really surprising because they have.
I would like to go and burn the audio from our predictions on that, because me and Anuj, Brett wasn't here on that episode. I think you were having butt problems, but me and Anuj both
that damn butt.
Me damn and Anuj butt, both were like, sorry, butt. Bro, FNS is going to carry this team. His IGL is going to take him to the promised land. Lock it in. Sure. Don't worry about it. And then it's like, oh, 0-2.
quick, too.
And they didn't lose to Envy, which would be the one team I would expect them to lose to. They lost to Furia and won. Like, oh, come on.
And Team 1, remember, is the team that really wouldn't even have qualified. All Gamers Club, Shroud and Nothing and all these guys let them advance because Shroud couldn't play in the next match. So they really wouldn't even have been at this point, and that's who E-United loses to, which, a little bit on them. Cooper, again, Freakazoid's brother, is their main opper. Fantastic player. He's been playing so well, played well in this tournament, but the rest of the squad really lacked behind. Envy was probably the most interesting team. I felt like in the whole tournament, just because nobody, the added element of Kerrigan was such an unknown and unexpected. I don't think anyone knew what he would bring to the table, and you saw them
in such a short amount of time too.
You saw them really struggle, like with mid game calls in some of these matchups against more experienced teams. Different people were stepping up, and they couldn't get enough people to do it at the same time. Like, it would be like, oh, this guy, JDM made some clutch plays here. Looked good on Train and a couple of maps that they were on, but ultimately, fell short. And, let me pull this up real quick because I was just looking at it. The teams that I think most disappointed in out of this whole tournament would be North. I know that's going a little bit past this initial stage.
Well,
here,
I don't think it's a minor, right? I don't think we have to really go in order. Just talk some talking points.
Yeah, North was a team that I think everybody had high hopes for. They're the other Danish squad, obviously, that people, you know, really root for. I put a tweet out there that said, with North being eliminated, this drops the chances of an all Danish squad winning it by 0% because you still have Astralis in play.
Yeah,
sick burn.
But at the end of the day, like for North, I don't know. This is like a big loss for them to not get through this stage. They have so much money invested in this lineup. They made, you know, the pickup for KRB. They, you know, they added KD in, who some thought, you know, may or may not be the right move, but I think it was the right move to go away from MSL. They bought Gabe out from Optic. I mean, they're spending money, right? They're spending money at a high level, and to not even make it to the new challenger stage has got to be disappointing.
And losing when they went to the third place play-in, right? You would think just beat Envy, right? That's really, and even then, I feel like people still give Envy a lot of credit because A, the organization's name, right? Mm-hmm. And they do have some pretty good players. Nifty, we've praised him a lot. JDM's a name that you'll know. Kerrigan, obviously, Anuj was just alluding to him. But Envy is not there yet. They looked good. But they also, there were a lot of games, like I know in our little show chat, after the match, we were like, how? Like, they really should not have won some of the matches they won. And so for North in that play-in, man, to lose, and I don't think this is spoiling anything here. We can jump ahead. They lost to VC Gaming in the semifinals, 16-8, and in the losers' finals, 2-0. So it wasn't like a fluke. They lost 3 times to that team within that play-in tournament.
And look, they got beat handily in those matches. Those were not close games. VC looked... VC?
That's how I say it.
Yeah, VC. Yeah.
Sure. They looked really good. I mean, their opper, Kaze, I think is who the opper was. That guy,
you could literally say anything you want about that team, and I would agree with you.
Yeah, I know, right?
sure, man. Yeah, Kaze is a great...
The wife was at work. I had all the opportunity in the world to sit here and just watch these games. Didn't recognize one of the players on this team. I heard a little bit in the pre-show, you know, what they were talking about and who to keep an eye out for. But man, these guys were like playing the meta, which is pretty unusual for a Chinese team. Like, Chinese teams are known to just be aimers. That's like they just want to go for aim duels, and that's kind of the downfall of the Chinese scene right now. These guys played hand in hand with North because North is an incredibly tactical team, or known to be. They, you know, they'll slow play you. They do great rotates. These guys were on fire, man. They like played so well, were hitting their shots. Their opera, again, Kaze, was really fantastic in the match. And again, you know, they were just in the moments where they needed to win the aim duels. They did that also. So not only were they outplaying them from a tactical perspective, but doing the same in straight up aim duels.
Yeah, it's cool to see another Chinese team in there. Tyloo is the only one that's been in that major forever, right? They seem to always hold that major spot. And so I think it's cool. Now, do I think they're going to get anywhere with it? No, I don't. I think it's a nice story. But I'll also be the first to say that I definitely said those same exact words prior to this episode, you know, prior to these matches, where I thought there was really, honestly, no way that North wasn't going to make it in. But if North has proven anything to everyone, it's the fact that if there's one team that can let you down, it's North. They have struggled for the better part of a year now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they, in any big tournament, be it like ESL Pro League or like a major minor qualifier, they just fold, but they'll win like a dream hack, right? It's when it comes to like a big stage, it's just like, for whatever reason, they can't get over that hump.
Look, and with North, the reason they're able to win some of those games is because they have one of the best players in the world. You know, Valde is a top five player almost. I mean, if he's not top five, he's very close. I don't know what the new rankings I know just came out, but Valde is a beast on this server. I mean, every time they would go down and do like a 1v2 or 1v3 situation and he was the last player remaining, I mean, he was just making plays left and right. I think him and KRB both put up almost 40 bombs in the overtime match, you know, against VC Gaming. And so, and they lost that game. You know, that was like a game that they lost and they both put up 30 plus frags, and Gabe struggled except for towards the end in that game. KDN looked terrible in that game. So they're able to win games because they do have top tier talent. That's why this is so disappointing. Like, it's not like they're a bad team who's got a good team branding behind them. They got big branding and they got good players. There's no reason they shouldn't have advanced.
I mean, looking at the third place play-in, it was between North Envy, Windstrike, and VC. And the fact that Windstrike and VC are the ones to make it is kind of just crazy. And like I said, I don't know if I'm just playing favoritism, because obviously we know the guys from Envy. Maybe I'm showing a little bit of favoritism towards them, but I do think they're an okay team. What are the expectations with Kerrigan sticking around?
Zero. He's right? Gone.
Like, it was literally just like, this was the purpose.
It was for this event. So he had an opportunity to play in the final. Didn't want to do, you know, what Tarek's situation is, where it's, you miss a final opportunity, major opportunity. There's no chance that he sticks around in this org unless they do the rebuilding around him and then the other guys are gone, right? So I think with Envy, it's pretty clear they want to stay in NA org. So I think it's highly unlikely that they go the route of let's build through Kerrigan. I think it's more likely that they try and build through like Nifty, JDM, and Cutler and these guys.
Do you think they keep Cutler?
I don't think that they keep Cutler long term, but I think in the short term he's good enough to stay on the roster. It's just, again, in CS, it's like, what can you get, right? So if they want to spend the money and dish it out and pick up top tier players, fantastic. I don't see them doing that though.
And you just don't know what's available after the major.
That's the whole thing, right? You see how teams perform in the major and maybe you get a decent player at a discounted rate, but if you're gonna go spend a quarter mil on a player, I don't know. Envy doesn't seem like they have the money to do it. I don't think that's how they want to build, just in some of our conversations with them and hearing them. It just seems unlikely that they're going to, here's $1 million. Let's go do it.
So maybe it was a, let's go ahead and get a team. Let's throw a group of guys together. We'll try and make this first major. We'll see how it shakes out, more to Tim's point, after this first major. And then, hey, let's gear up for this next one this year. Right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think, originally looking back when they re-entered Counter-Strike, I think this is just pure speculation, right? But I think their goals were, let's not get relegated out of ESL, right? We want that ESL spot. And then let's worry about the major. I almost feel like getting... If they would have made the major, I think it would have been like...
Icing on the
cake. It would have been exceeding expectations, realistically. Yeah. Realistic.
I think that's 100% accurate. Yeah, I think the first goal was retaining the pro league spot. A lot is involved with retaining that spot, right? Like, you play throughout the season, your team gets to play against top tier competition. Obviously, there's a big tournament at the end of the season. Like, it means a lot to hold the pro league spot. So I think that was by far number one. Making the major, look, you know, it's important, because if you do well and you advance far enough, it boosts you up going into the next major, in the sense that you may not have to play as many qualifier matches, you know, to make it. So I think that was the goal, is, hey, can we make it far enough to where maybe we don't have to qualify for this stage or this stage, you know, by doing it. They didn't, you know, they're going to have to do it the tough way, but if they build a roster that, you know, they want, then they'll have an opportunity. This roster, if they did it, it would have really been something else. It would have been fun for an NA fan to be able to root for them, but so unlikely, because it was just a last minute throw in. How much realistically could Kerrigan do without having much time to play against other teams? They're just scrimming right now. You know, there weren't active tournaments going on. So it was a long shot from the beginning.
I find it just hard to believe, you know, after, you know, retaining a spot in Pro League and then being right there in the minor qualifier, that knowing Hastro, that he's not going to do. I mean, if he's going to get into CSGO, I feel like he's going to, like, something big's going to happen, right? Like, I don't feel like he's, his mindset, his competitive mindset is going to allow him to be kind of irrelevant or be in that same situation that he was in when he had the French team, right? Like, I don't feel like he wants that. Why would you get into Counter-Strike if that's what you're going to be in NA? Which is worse.
Yeah, but you also have to remember...
that bad in NA.
To say, oh, well, you have this mentality. Well, he picked up most of former Splice. So it's not like he's just willing to go throw his wallet, you know, at CSGO and say, I'm going to buy all these top-tier players. He bought Splice, for crying out loud. So he's not that big into it. The reason he dropped, and I truly believe this, the reason he dropped his French roster was not because his French roster started to suck. It's because the French team started to not care that they sucked. They quit on the team. The players quit on Envy. And then
remember,
Mike said,
he released all of them,
we're
right?
We're done, like, with this.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even like, I'm going to sell all of these guys off individually.
Yeah.
I think they just released everybody from their contract and was like, this is not worth it. Because that team is also probably, let's be real, a freaking headache, right? Like, I can't imagine a French team being easy to manage. They want to stay NA. We know that. That's a fact, right? Like, they stated that they would like to keep this as an NA team. I don't think it's as easy as just throwing money at the wall to build a team. It's not going to happen in the NA scene unless you're willing to somehow pull an automatic and, you know, make something out of nothing. If they truly are all in, they're going to have to buy EU players, and they're just not going to do that. So.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not talking about like FaZe or, you know, Na'Vi type money, right? It's NA is kind of ripe for the taking. You have Liquid, NRG, and then
Cloud9's top 10 dog.
And then it's wide open. We're not going to get out of here.
Top 10?
Not yet.
Out of here.
But, I mean, it's right there. I mean, you don't have to spend Na'Vi or you know, FaZe money to get there. But I just feel like this roster could get, he could have
this
so much better for not as expensive.
Final form. Yeah, I agree. Like, this roster is not a final form roster at all.
Yeah.
I just think you're just limited with options in a realistic price range. So I think this was a time for them to, this team has played together, majority of them. Let's keep our pro league spot rather than getting a bunch of young players in there and hope that they're good enough to keep that spot on their own. They have a couple of players to build around. I think Nifty could be a good building piece, although he needs to step back up. He's not really doing that. Mm-hmm. They have a couple of pieces. It's going to be a long road for them. It's not going to be an easy turn the corner type thing. I mean, you look at a team like Complexity is a perfect example, right? They have some good core pieces at Complexity, and we'll get into them here in just a moment, but it's like, you know, you can see how bad Jason Lake wants to win, right? Yeah. But again, it's not easy to just flip a roster in CSGO and hope that it works. Like, it's just a tough esport to compete in.
Let's get into Complexity and change over from the minor, because we're going to talk a lot more about the upcoming Katowice Major with the new Challenger stage and everything there. And that's when we'll more so talk about the other teams that made it, you know, Greyhounds, Windstrike, all those guys, Renegades qualified over in the Asia Minor. So we'll talk more about that when we go ahead and just start previewing the Major and the Challenger stage here in a couple of weeks. We did have the E-League Invitational for 2019, though. This is that tournament that I kind of made fun of last week, where I remember when E-League was like a premier, like, best teams in the world, almost felt like a mini major, sometimes the actual major, right? And then this year they give out a four-team tournament made up of Big, Cloud9, Complexity, and FaZe. Kind of random assortment of teams. I think Cloud9 and FaZe are the two that really stick out. And then you have Big and Complexity. And I know, Nuge, you were just about to start getting into Complexity, so I'll let you kind of continue your thought.
Yeah, I mean, the guy hammered. Like, what can you say? There wasn't a whole lot of opportunity for them to do much of anything. They got shut out 4-0, 2-0 against Big to start off with. Big, again, is the better team. Like, Big's an experienced team. I think Complexity had a chance. I don't think the map selection, I'm not remembering exactly what it was, but I remember recalling at the time.
Overpass and
map
cache.
Selection. Yeah, like cache is a 50-50 map. I think overpass, you know, big has proven to be good. Their complexity, again, they're just...
And this is the second showing with nothing.
Yeah. It wasn't good. Like, I mean, it just... I don't know what else to really say about complexity in terms of how they performed. They didn't look crisp. It was a little tough because you're gauging nothing on a second tournament. You know they're going to keep the squad together through the major because they have to retain, you know, roster spots and they're locked in. They kept the legend stage and this and that. But you're probably starting to sweat a little bit if you're over there, right? Like, it's not like they're losing matches and really close competition and they look really good and they're, you know, one break this way is the reason they're losing. They got hammered pretty good in a lot of these games. And I know they mentioned in the broadcast, a lot of Sean Gears mentioned this, that a lot of these players have been IGLs on this team before. And maybe there's just too much of that going on here where you have too many people trying to control too much. There's an issue. Lord only knows what it is at this point, but they're in a tough spot. I think the major is such a crucial tournament before this roster has to make another change. Again, they're in one of those situations where it's going to be tough to be upgrading. I mean, again, unless you're, I just don't know what talent would be available for them or who they would want to swap out. But yeah, it's been tough since the major for them. And it looks like it's like getting worse and worse at the wrong time. You know, you want to kind of be peaking right now. They look the complete opposite.
I somewhat feel like, and this doesn't make me happy saying it, but I almost feel like the NA scene is a little bit like the French scene, where you can make roster moves and kick out some of the players, but then, like we've said a dozen times already this episode, who are you going to get? You're going to get another team's replacement or another team's cut player. And that's exactly what's wrong with the French scene right now, is that it's all just recycled players from all these other organizations. And it's like you're really just grasping for straws at that point and just hoping one of these players fits into your team's chemistry. And then it just clicks and you know, play out of your minds at some of these tournaments, kind of like how NRG started forming the way, like, now we view them as like, oh, you actually kind of have to pay attention to NRG. That's kind of what happened to them. Like, they didn't pick one player up and thought, you know, you never heard anyone say, whoa, watch out for NRG. You know, they got this guy now. They just kind of clicked, and it's difficult to base a team off of, we just got to get a guy to click.
Or I feel like maybe at this point, just kind of piggybacking off of the NA and French scene, I'm thinking maybe a team isn't going to pick up a scrap, but maybe a team is going to find like a diamond in a rough, like Stewie did for Cloud9. Like, what is it? Zywoo's doing for
Vitality.
Vitality or what, you know, Cooper and all these other young players are doing for other teams in NA. So maybe it's a deal like that, where NA gets better from a younger.
NA is good from the young perspective. There's a lot of good young NA players. Right now, they're just on these teams where they're maturing as pro players. And I think that experience is needed before a lot of these guys get together and try to learn to play together. They need to become fantastic individually and really find, you know, their peaks. And I think NRG has a couple of those guys, Breezy, Ethan. You have Cirque out there, you know, from Cooper. You have Wardell. Like, there's a lot of good young talent in NA. They're just kind of spread out at the moment. But I think they're in the stages of their career where that's just naturally how that progression comes. You go from these tier two teams, eventually you get an opportunity to lower tier one team, and then a cloud team like Cloud9 will come in and hopefully suck up a couple of these guys and form a true NA roster. Cloud9 is built with a bunch of rejects who play really well, though. They're like a really, you know, you say rejects, I'm talking about rejects from a former team.
That is a ragtag group.
No, but like, look, they're all star players, right?
Yeah.
Like Blesha, Keo, like, they have really, really talented players here with one wild card who turned out to be what's looking like a fantastic pickup. And we'll get into Cloud9 here in a moment. But the NA scene does have that talent. They're just spread out and they're maturing as players. I think in time you will see some of these guys eventually band together and try and make the next NA, you know, super team, or at least mix into one of the more mature teams.
And also the one thing Complexity has going for them is when that training facility is set up, I really don't see how any dude who is looking to join a team can walk into the Cowboys, the freaking star where the Dallas Cowboys practice, and then say, you mean I get to just hang out with them and work with their doctors and team cafe and gym? And oh my God, we have our own training facility for esports. Like, I don't see how any kid can walk away from that without at least seriously considering about joining them. So, and I think that's going to be a huge thing, right? Is like, you see it in like college recruiting all the time, right? The colleges want the awesome, badass locker room so they can entice these kids to join their school. And, you know,
just like college, just like college, it comes down to money. Which program is going to offer the most?
Right.
You thought Shaq got rich in the pros? Shaq got rich in college.
You know, so, yeah, I agree with you, though. You know, a lot of these, different organizations are now coming up with fantastic facilities. You have the Alienware facility for all of Liquid's, you know, Liquid stuff. And I think you're going to see a little bit more and more of that. But yeah, Complexity will have a good opportunity to be able to sell themselves here really soon. Once they're up and running, that's going to be fantastic. But right now, tough spot for them. I mean, I think we're going to have to see what they pull out of the major. And it's going to be, I think, really bad, or maybe they have another magical run in them, but right now it's not promising.
I don't see it. Let's talk
about third place in this tournament was big. I think a lot of people's expectations going into this tournament were to see a big phase final, just by where the two teams were ranked, how they had been performing most recently, Cloud9 being in one of those oddball situations where you don't know how this team is going to mesh. Big, you know, came in strong, 2-0'd Complexity. Got lucky because they got a break in the next round. They got to play Cloud9 in the second round because you had the upset in round one, which we'll get into. But Cloud9 2-0'd them. You know, the Cloud9 looked good. And unfortunately for them, that meant they got a draw against FaZe in the lower bracket where they, you know, were eventually eliminated.
So let's get into some Cloud9 FaZe, because this matchup has turned into a little of a rivalry. I think yesterday was the one-year anniversary for the Boston Major, which everyone, if you remember, that's where Cloud9 and FaZe faced off in the epic NA Major in Boston for E-League. Yeah, it was E-League.
Who won?
I think it was Cloud9, if I'm remembering. If my memory serves me right, I believe it was Cloud9. But that was many, many rosters ago. many moons ago. In fact, it's kind of crazy to think that only within a year's time, two of the players still remain, and a coach who is rumored to be out 1 foot out the door. But that changes.
Well, he wasn't even coaching at this tournament. They had Rambo back there.
Yeah, he was.
No, Valens was there.
Valens was there.
Was Rambo there as well? Because I saw him behind the players.
He might have. Maybe they were switching off.
I can definitely tell you. I saw Valens behind them
with his one miss size too small of hoodie. Like, my buddy, you can ask. You work for the team. Just ask him for a larger hoodie. Like, you don't have to buy one. Just ask for a larger hoodie. Come on, man.
We did get the pleasure of seeing this matchup twice in this tournament because they did meet initially in the first
round. Which is so funny that the first round is the semis, but I'm not gonna get on that topic. I don't want to get bogged down with the four team invitational tournament. Man, it's so funny that no matter how bad or how out of it Cloud9 seems, they show up against FaZe, beating them 2-0 in overtime, both maps on Overpass and Mirage, in the semifinals. Taking both maps to overtime, I don't think any team really looked that much better. I mean, if anything, FaZe looked better.
FaZe couldn't close it out.
They just lost, right?
Yeah.
Cloud9 was up, 12-3 after the first half in Overpass and blew it. Like, they blew it. The only reason they ended up winning is because, again, FaZe failed to close it out. So I don't really want to look too much into that one, because where I think it really gets interesting was the grand finals, where FaZe ended up turning it around, winning 2-1. And I think there's a lot of talking points between that. And it's really starting with map two on Inferno, because Cloud9 dominated Mirage. They seem to really like Mirage. Like, really.
They started off really hot on Mirage. And FaZe, you know, did make even a little bit of a comeback, and you started to sweat.
16-3, though. 16-3 in the finals.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was map two where they went. Who went down early? And I think map two was. Did FaZe start off really hot?
Yeah, map two's. FaZe started off really hot. And then Cloud9 brought it within like two rounds and then just blew it. So. You might know this, Anuj. Who is shot calling for Cloud9 on a regular basis? I know this can always change.
I thought it was automatic, but I don't know who's doing
it. So I thought it was Flusha. So this goes to show that I don't think there is a IGL right now in Cloud9. And I think that really, really showed in this tournament. Just jumping around for matches, though. I think it's a community effort right now. I think it's a group effort on an in-game strats for Cloud9. On Train, when they were on the T side, I forget the exact round, but I mean, at that point, the game was pretty much done. All the momentum was in FaZe's side. Guardian turned into a Na'Vi monster. Guardian again. You know, flashbacks from that Boston Major where Guardian should have won MVP. In Boston, I know they gave it to Skadoodle for sentimental reasons. Guardian should have had that MVP at the Boston Major because he played the same way in the E-League Invitational yesterday than what he did in Boston. It was nutty, dude, how that guy just... You think he's
that
done.
That ace he pulled off on Train? Remember that, dude, it was like round five or six. He had
you
want
to say he's done. You're like, nah, this isn't... Guardian can't op anymore. And then he just goes off on teams, man. Off.
His game sense... is really second to none. Watching his positioning, again, it was the play that I'm talking about, I believe it was 4-2 or 4-3 at that time on Train. He was in an ace situation here. I think there was three players remaining at the time when he was by himself. All three were positioned in such good spots to have angles on him, and he fished him out one by using a molly, waiting for one to peek, he knew he was going to jiggle peek him, and then based on where he killed them, he knew exactly where this third guy was going to be on top of Red Train, you know, back corner. And it's just amazing to watch him when he's in this type of mode. And Tim, you said it best, you saw that in Boston, right? Like, there was so many map points or match points where this guy was just stepping up to keep them alive. And you kind of felt that here, because I felt had they lost a couple of these rounds where Guardian stepped up, it really could have flipped into Cloud9 favor, whether that had been from a money perspective or just from a momentum swing.
And even looking at like Inferno, the one round where it was a 3v1 and Rain, all he had was a pistol, and within five bullets had three headshots. FaZe ended up winning that round. Had no business winning that round, and you saw that a lot. I did want to make one more point, and then we can get more into the X's and O's and the teams. But to my point that Cloud9 struggled with their IGL, or their, just any type of in-game strats, especially on Train, FaZe dominated B-site. Cloud9 had no answer for them on B on Train. And on Train, I forget the round, but Cloud9 was on Terrorist, and it was an eco. Right, like they could maybe soft buy. So you see the team run out of the T spawn, and then like three of them turn back around because the other two bought pistols and armor. And then the other three were like, oh crap, and went back to get pistols and armor. And right there, we were in Discord talking to my buddy Branderson, both big Cloud9 fans. Right there I told Branderson, and that's game right there. When you don't have communication before the buying time is over on what you're doing, you know you're flustered, and there is not one voice they're listening to at that point. That was everyone trying to say, what are we going to do? And as soon as I saw them leave the spawn and have to go back because the other two soft bought with pistols and armor and the other three didn't, game over. Yeah, game over. I mean, I don't know what their plans are for the major, but they have to figure that out.
Yeah, and to go to your point on T side, watching that Train match, like, yeah, you know, they didn't really have an idea what they wanted to do pre-buy, but when they were executing, trying to do an execute, like, it was Olaf with the AUG, or, you know, Guardian with the AWP, just picking them apart with no flashes getting in their way, no smokes, you know, in between them and the CTs. It was just like, it was a shooting gallery.
The funny thing is,
it was so like, easy for him.
Olaf was using the AUG, which his own teammate Nico days before said was a new weapon. Don't at me. But yet here's his teammate completely carrying them with that weapon. But we won't get into that. And like on Inferno, it pained me to see Rush struggle as hard as he did on Inferno. He ended the map with, he was 6-22. 6-22 with an ADR average damage per round. Do you guys have the numbers in front of you?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's like 30 something.
32. 32.7.
He had a tough map. That's one of the...
This is what I don't understand, right? And this is where, this is my beef of like in-game adjustments. I think this is where Cloud9 struggled on. So Rush was, he kept going into pit and kept getting killed from apartments, which you don't really see happen very often. Like normally pit is like guaranteed spot, right? But he was getting outshot from apartments. He was using the AUG. Now he used the AUG on the first map on Mirage, but on Inferno and Train, he severely struggled with it. He wasn't scoping in with it, which I feel is like 80% of the advantage of it. I know the recoil isn't bad with it either, but you know, you're like Anuj, you said it's really nice because you can just hold those tight angles with the AUG scoping in. He wasn't doing
with the
that.
AUG, the recoil is straight up. So right. When you hold those tight ankles and you're scoped in, you don't have to worry about it like an M4 and an AK where it tails off. It's almost a vertical movement right off the bat. So these guys are mastering it quickly. And you're right. He had a lot of trouble. Inferno and Train mm-hmm. were tough maps for him. And like
and
you said,
I don't
Mirage,
see
you
the in-game adjustment
really well.
Like, dude, go back to an M4. Go back to old reliable.
like go back to what you know is worth.
Yeah, like let's not force the AUG just because it's meta.
With, you know, talking about Rush playing bad, I think the upside for Cloud9 was Zealous looked good, right? Like he didn't look out of place necessarily. He's had such little exposure to the main stage, so it's not like we're expecting him to go in and dominate either, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to see him flop out, right? I didn't want to see him have one of these tournaments where it was like, oh gosh, like the numbers that Rush had, right? You didn't want to see him put up numbers like that consistently. And with to Rush's credit, Automatic played the same way on the third map. I mean, Automatic was like 8-20 or something on the third map. So
but see, on the third map, it was a team effort, right? No one on Cloud9 played well at all. Funny enough, Rush had the best KD on Train, but still, it was a team. Like Train was a mess.
You can't go down 11-4. You can't go down 11-4 first half and expect a good outcome in that situation, especially for Train where, you know, as CT, you should be able to pull off more rounds than that.
But to your point, I think Rush performing, getting 6 kills is like, ooh, buddy, something went wrong that game.
Yeah. Entries were not really working well.
Right. Zealous getting 6 kills and I'm looking at it way differently, right? I'm thinking this kid's not ready. So,
but that would have been more disappointing, right? Like, oh gosh, like this is like
I agree. Yes, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you.
With Rush, we know he'll bounce back. So I think there was some upside coming out of this. I don't think people expected Cloud9 to play as well as they did in this tournament. No. And I say that with only a 4-team tournament, in the sense they played the game well. You know, they didn't look out of
phases.
Place here.
Top 5 in the world, right? So the fact that Cloud9 was able to hold off, and like we said, if some rounds went one way or the other, it could have looked completely different.
Yeah, and, you know, on the flip side for FaZe, I think for them, they must have been so thrilled to see Olaf Meister playing like Olaf Meister. It has been a long time since we have talked about him dominating the stat sheet, but not only that, just looking really impressive in game. I think you saw that from him. He really was the carry on Inferno for them. Inferno was, I mean, a map where he almost dropped 30 kills.
104 ADR.
Yeah, I mean, just played really well. But even throughout the tournament, for them to see Olaf coming in and playing at a high level, I think is crucial going into the major. On the flip side, Nico looked fairly average, right? Like, I can't tell you around off the top of my head, and this is pretty crazy. I can't tell you a round where he stood out to me. where he made, you know, there were a couple of like, I think 2v1s that he had won, but really nothing was like,
he looked,
man,
human.
That was a game. Yeah. That wasn't a game changing moment. And they maybe could use a little bit more of that, where they don't put the focus on Nico to have to carry, because it's never really worked, right? It didn't work when he was with Mouse. With FaZe, there's been a lot of ups and downs. I think they need to spread out the offense a little bit more, involve everybody, and not focus around, what can Nico do to carry us this game. I don't know from their sake how they feel about Adren right now. Adren was the most recent pickup for them, as you guys remember. He looked, I think, average in every game that I watched him play. And so they won a tournament with him.
Very little impact.
Yeah, it really felt that way. Like, again, just kind of went unnoticed for me. So again, I think that should be a little worrisome for them, but it's still early.
It was his first tournament with them, right?
Yeah.
First officials, yeah.
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 I mean, maybe it's just a little bit not of to say continuity.
Not expecting him to go out there and dominate. I don't know exactly what his role was either in the games. Like, did they have him calling in these matches? I don't even know how that, you know, the scenario played out with Nico calling for them still. I don't know. They're kind of in a cloud nine for me, where they have four or five guys that have the ability, you know, to call on their team. So interesting dynamic. Good for Yanko, you know, getting an opportunity to see the winner's circle there after a couple of struggles, you know, with MIBR and them initially. So yeah, good tournament all the way around. I really thought it was exciting. I got more out of it than I thought I was going to.
Right. And I think that's really what I wanted to do, because this is, I believe, the last big tournament before the major.
Yeah.
Is that safe to say?
Last big tournament, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really is, yeah. So I think this is what I wanted to see. You know, it's not a huge deal that Cloud9 didn't win. If you're a Cloud9 fan, I would not look at this. I mean, almost, you're looking at this as a positive. You know, yeah, you lost the tournament, but as we said, it's a four-team tournament, right? Playing two matches, five maps against FaZe and playing the way they did, Cloud9 needs to just tighten up their play calling, right? Tighten up who's doing what and some of their maps and spots and things like that. But for Cloud9, I think this was a successful tournament. Despite not winning, it was a successful tournament. FaZe, I think it's nice for them to get the monkey off their back, right? I mean, yeah, if you're a hater, you can be like, well, it's a four-team tournament, you know, big freaking whoop. But the fact
you
that
win these.
Yeah, you do. And the fact that Olaf Meister looks like maybe he found his stride with the AUG, maybe that was the change that he was needing. And the
Guardian
fact that
coming
Guardian,
up in the clutch and playing the MVP. Way he did. This is exactly what this team needed going into the major. And it seems a little minuscule because it's like, oh, they beat Cloud9. No, it was the players that played well in these matches is what's going to be key for them going forward. And Guardian was your MVP, deservedly so.
Yeah. No, he was. I was having flashbacks of Boston because he was just insane with it. So, like I said, though, that was the last tournament before the major. So teams will have a little bit of time to get settled in Poland and get some more boot camps in and underneath their belts. And hopefully some of these teams that we've mentioned can tighten up a little bit where they need to and have a good run in the major. So we'll see. We will see. Let's get into some e-news, though, shall we? I have quite a bit to get to, and of course, e-news this week is brought to you again by Spaceman Company. You can see I'm actually repping the t-shirt this time. Lovely t-shirt there. You can find them on Twitter at Spaceman Company, the website spacemancompany.com, I believe. But you can also go to their Twitter, their website's there. Give them a follow. They do clothing right now. I believe they do customs. I think you mentioned that to us. But either way, good dudes. They are supporters of the show, and we are supporters of them. So check it out. Quite comfy t-shirt, actually. Nice little cotton. It's nice. Of course, if you're on Twitch, then you can actually see that. But if you're listening on the podcast, just imagine that you can see a t-shirt. And that makes sense. In CSGO, Denial ended up signing Bravato. Bravato being the South African team that a little bit of crowdfunded going on to get them to the minors. They didn't perform well, but I don't think anyone really expected them to. This was actually
really good. They did actually perform well.
Well,
they did perform well. They made it farther than anyone expected it to, but they didn't qualify ultimately. Yeah.
So, you know, don't come at me with
I know what you mean.
Don't come at me with your A minus, okay? I don't put A minuses on the fridge, Anuch, okay? Only A pluses. But this is kind of a weird thing, right? Because you're kind of like, hey, grats, you guys got signed on to a team. But Denial is, if you don't know, has a history behind it. The former owner never paid their players, ever. The new CEO is starting to pay some of those guys back, but there's also some skeletons in his closet. So you just don't know how to feel.
You would think an African country would kind of be aware of this because there's like an epidemic of like their national soccer team players not getting paid, right? Like that's a big deal. And then, you know, they get signed by an owner that, or not an owner, but maybe a team that has a history of not paying. So it's like, oh man, can't catch a break.
It's in a tough spot though. Cause I'm not going to lie. You know, if they came up to me,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
You're not going to say no. I'll take my chances with that paycheck coming in. You have to.
But still, it's
good for them. Hopefully it works out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe
Dota,
Optic can throw, you know, they don't have an Indian team anymore.
They go back to, I guess it's not NA. I don't know what you, they got to make their own division for that one, I guess.
Yeah.
It's going to be the whole Brazilians and NA, Africans and EU type of bit, I guess. I guess that's what they're going to have to do. I don't know. In Dota, I'm going to mispronounce this, but the Chongqing Major, Secret ended up, actually, I think I nailed that, to be honest with you. Team Secret ended up defeating Virtus Pro 3-1. Call of Duty, Pharaoh was benched on 100 Thieves, and Priesta on loan from FaZe. Obviously, FaZe not making the CWL. They can afford giving their players up on loan. I know, Anuj, we were talking ahead of time on this. This has some juice behind it.
One's amped up a little bit, man.
So if you don't follow the CWL, first of all, it's great for drama. There's no community out there that just loves Twitter drama as much as the CWL does. But Clayster on E United tweeted out something along the lines of, when your submachine gun player isn't willing to submachine gun and then someone else gets kicked off the team, rough business or something like that. Paraphrasing, right? And then that just blew up into everything. Kenny obviously being the man he's referring to. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, I know Kenny, 100 Thieves have been struggling. Kenny being the like best submachine gun player back in World War II. Now he can
best
afford.
Best player.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think he got
the best player. He got player of the year.
Player of the year for the esports awards. So we'll see if this leads up to where he can maybe play a little bit more on the Maddox going forward. And if that was even the problem with 100 Thieves, we will have to wait and find out. In other esports news, Farming Simulator announced that they are having their own esports league for around 285-ish prize pool, given how the exchange rate is at the time. You boys want to sign up?
Sure, let's do it. I mean, what are the teams? Like, is it threes, fours, fives? What's going on?
Like, does one person drive the tractor and one person, like, picks, like, the corn?
We'll,
like,
we'll master the meta, Anuj, okay? We'll figure out the meta.
We're making the meta. Then,
look, for $300,000, I'm in. Okay?
Do you think there are esports purists that don't like this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, again, at this point, I always tell myself, who am I to judge? If they have a competitive community, somebody's willing to pay the money, it's not coming out of my pocket.
I think this is so crazy, it's going to work. Like, people are going to watch it.
Oh, dude, the game is huge. The game is massive. There's no doubt that the game has a following, right?
Made by the same guys who did, like, Euro Truck Simulator and all that. There's a following.
But I think the same way that there is a lot of hate in the esports community towards Overwatch, I think it's just one of those things. People just hate to hate. Like, it's just easy to hate on the new kid on the block.
I don't want
to
get...
This is an oddball one, obviously. But still, I think people just kind of hate to hate.
We can actually, I'm sure we've talked about that in the past, but I'm sure we can even talk about it more in the future as well. There is a weird thing in esports where we all want esports to succeed, but we all want our favorite esports to succeed. You know, like,
yeah,
CSGO guys do not want Overwatch succeeding because they want to be the guys on TV, right? They're the ones who want all these franchises coming into play and all this money and news and everything like that. As much as I don't think that's you won't ever hear people admit it, right? But I do think there's this weird hate going on. So we'll maybe talk about that in the future. ESL, speaking of hate, is to host a Fortnite tournament at IEM Katowice. I don't have a whole lot of information on this. I don't know if this is during the CSGO major or what. So I'll give you
a little breakdown of it. There's two tournaments taking place at Katowice for Fortnite. Okay, so one of them being an all-Polish tournament. 100 players, $100,000 prize for that tournament. The second tournament is a duos tournament. That has $100,000 cash prize associated with it, so for a total of $600,000. The duos tournament is going to consist of EU and NA teams that'll be going head to head. They haven't announced what patch they're going to be on, but some important things that are taking place is the guys are allowed to use their own keyboard and mouse, which I know sounds like not a big deal, but in other Fortnite tournaments, it's been like the peripherals have been handed to you. This is what you're using. They're allowed to revert some of the changes, I think, on what game mode they will be playing. So I think it's a good step for Fortnite. I think the timing is incredibly odd to be done at a major event. I don't care that there are two tournaments happening in different games at the same time. Had this just been ESL Katowice 2019, it's a major. You want to see it, like we mentioned earlier pre-show, you want to see it be a celebration of just that game. And I think we can do a whole topic on this at another time, but like, I do like what they're doing for Fortnite in this instance. The timing just feels really weird.
Yeah, I agree. It's cool to see a tournament of this size and the way they're doing it. Definitely, I don't see how Valve is like cool with like, yo, I thought we gave you the major to be the major, right? We gave you the major to be... put Counter-Strike on a pedestal for this weekend, and now we have to share the pedestal. Not saying that every tournament should be a single game. I don't think that. I love old school MLG, right? Where you had Gears of War and Call of Duty and Rainbow and World of Warcraft. I love those type of things. DreamHack, right? There's multiple games at DreamHack. Love it. So I'm not against it, but I am against them being at majors. It's just weird.
This event will probably break the total viewership numbers for any event would be my guess, maybe other than the international, but over a 2-week span of Counter-Strike, and then you count the viewing hours that will go into Fortnite, you count that as just like an event on its own, it's gonna have some crazy numbers, some crazy overall viewing numbers.
PUBG is introducing profit sharing for the Pro League.
Called this a desperation reach at this point to stay relevant. I think it's a good move. I think it's a way to keep these organizations interested in the game. There is still a fan base for PUBG. I think it's a very niche fan base at this point that's like really tailored towards a more hardcore, like survival realistic style shooter. I just think this feels like one of those things where, hey, kind of last ditch attempt to keep your relevancy in the esports things, because that game has just been the downfall.
To keep teams too, and maybe compete, or maybe they know something about other BR games out there that are trying to get in, like Fortnite. Yeah, they got to keep their teams interested, and definitely one way to do it for sure.
Well, now you do like team, you know, clothing in the game or weapon skins. Like you can implement some of this stuff to kind of draw in money and draw in, you know.
It was pretty cool to see that in Rainbow Six with the team skins and stuff. It was a neat little ESL kind of tidbit.
People have been calling for that in Counter-Strike for a long time too. Like with gloves and everything.
Yeah.
It's like cool to have stickers, but it'd be really cool to have like full blown like gloves and guns and everything.
Like Cloud Nine. I'm not even Cloud Nine fan.
I can already see Tim's inventory if they had Cloud Nine.
Yeah, it's just Cloud Nine everything.
Everything. And Dragon Ball FighterZ had their world tour finals over the weekend. It was a full Japanese finals with, I'm going to mispronounce them, Kazunoko and Fenrich. I think that's how you say them. Sorry if I mispronounced it. Was watching it on mute. But Kazunoko ended up winning. But of course, the only people really care about is Sonic Fox, and he ended up tying for fifth place. So,
why do you want him to fail, Tim? God.
Guess he's not the best.
Why? Oh my.
I'll tell you why.
We love Sonic Fox. Me and Anoush.
I appreciate him.
He's definitely a character.
Appreciate the
right?
Like, yeah, he's definitely.
Appreciate him.
Yeah, appreciate. Oh man.
Look, just I've said it 100 times. You can do whatever you want in life, and I'm gonna support you. I can't with the furry. I draw the line somewhere.
That's Tim's
life,
line.
That's the line.
You put on a tail, and Tim no longer supports you.
I can't. It's such this. Maybe
another
I'm
topic.
Old man another Tim, topic but for, I just
maybe.
Can't.
Okay, so next week we scrap owl and we talk tails,
furries, just the whole pictures and like animals with just crotch bulges and underwear. It's just like it hurts my head. It
you
hurts
didn't
my
like
head.
That calendar he posted.
Yeah, I got it hanging up right behind my monitor just so I can look at it all the time. No.
Interspecies erotica? No.
It's just,
not your bag.
There's something there, man. There's something there. But who am I to judge, right? It's 2019. Hey, I guess
you
I
live
just need
your
to,
life.
Yeah, 2019. I need to get over it. Jeez. That just does it for this episode of The Center Ring. 140 is in the books. I appreciate you for listening. If you listened to the full thing or skipped around, I love you all the same. We will be back next week. We are going to record Monday because we have some Overwatch League previews to get to. Maybe do the Atlantic Division, Pacific Division? I don't know. We're still going to figure it out. But we have two episodes next week. So follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring and Twitch so you can watch it live and know exactly when we are going to discuss it. And yeah, we got the CSGO Major coming up in a few weeks too. So we're also going to discuss that in about 2 weeks, I believe. So lots and lots of big tournaments to discuss. And we enjoy it, and we hope you do too. That's really all I got. Appreciate you for listening. For Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.